read stuff, you hear stuff, you see stuff, and then you email said stuff. And then people who got it read it and hear it and see it, and they email it, and so on and so on. And the next thing you know, it's a most emailed story, and it makes its way to us, and we fill time with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most.
Up first, since we have two Dans in the room, you're going by Pashman?
That's me. Hey, guys, how
Producer
are you?
Producer Dan, hey. Pashman.
This was originally most emailed over on Yahoo News, but we're going to switch sources here a little bit to get the best information possible over the Christian Science Monitor. A really interesting story about a declassified study about some signals intelligence during the time of Vietnam. Signals intelligence is essentially intercepting radio calls and other electronic communications of an adversary to try to figure out what they're doing. And actually, a lot of excellent work was done by the NSA, the National Security Agency, during the time of Vietnam in the field of signals intelligence that made huge differences. But there were also some times when it didn't go so well. And that's what we learned more about in these new declassified reports. First of all, the Tet Offensive was not predicted. They failed to intercept that in all of the spying that was going on. One of the things that's getting the most headlines, though, relates to the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which is one that's been surrounded by a lot of controversy over the years. And that was the incident Lyndon Johnson used to justify a major escalation in the Vietnam War. And what it appears is that there were actually two separate incidents in August of 1964. On August 2nd, some North Vietnamese patrol boats attacked a U.S. destroyer. Johnson said, "Hey, guys, if that happens again, you're in big, big trouble." Then there was word that another attack had happened on August 4th. And it now looks like the nature of that attack is somewhat suspicious, that we may have mistranslated an interception, and which led President Johnson to believe that an attack had occurred when one had not.
And where is that the most?
That's from Yahoo News.
All right, cool. We'll put a link up to that. That sounds like a good read.
That's right.
All right, Matt Martinez, our senior supervising producer, the
Hi.
Person in charge of a lot of things,
a
very,
things.
Very important job,
yes.
Rundowns. He's deal with all the stations and the bosses. Giggling like a schoolgirl for 10 minutes this morning over this story. Just chuckles.
Right, yeah, I'm trying to
coming
get
from
to
your
know,
desk.
Trying to process the New Hampshire primary stuff, and this comes across, and I don't know if this kid is brilliant or an idiot, or a brilliant idiot. He's a 10-year-old Mexican kid. He had to go back to school after Christmas break. Didn't really want to go back to school. So you do what you have to do to stay home, and his solution was to glue himself to his bed. That's right. He got shoe glue, put it on his hand,
sure,
glued himself to his bed. His mother said, "I don't know why this happened. He's a very good boy. His name is Diego Palacios." And they got some paramedics to come and pry him off. It took a couple hours, and he whiled away the time by watching some cartoons.
And why did this make you giggle so much?
It seems like this surreal thing. I just kept picturing this kid glued to his bed watching Bugs Bunny cartoons while, you know, these paramedics are trying to unstick him from his bed. It seemed like something out of like a Coen Brothers movie, you know? It's like the most surreal thing. And it just kept playing over and over and over in my head this morning. It's just fantastic. Diego Palacios, you're my hero.
It was kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Where was that the most from, by the way?
Yahoo News, again, with the Yahoo the News. We're all over the Yahoo News this morning.
All right, well, we're going to introduce a newish member to the BPP staff. He's been lurking about for quite some time now.
I'm a lurker.
He's a lurker, and we told him, you got to get on the mic eventually. It's part of the deal. Ian, welcome. We stole you from Fresh Air.
Yeah.
Happily.
Yeah. Thanks. I tried to glue my hand to my desk there. But,
Terry anyway. Gross came over and
we have all kinds of solvents at Fresh Air. You would never guess. So this is a most from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And a conservative pastor in Redmond, Washington, that's where Microsoft is urging his flock to buy stock in Microsoft. The thinking being that they can take control of the company and then thereby fight Microsoft's gay rights initiatives. Microsoft, you know, is one of the first big companies to offer benefits to same-sex partners. They publicly support gay rights legislation, and, you know, this guy, Ken Hutcherson, wants an end to that. So the paper, the Post-Intelligencer, added up the math of how this would work. So Ken is urging people to buy 3 shares, keep 2 for themselves, and donate 1 to the church. So that's about $104 a person. And then to gain a 1% stake in Microsoft, the church needs 31 million people to do this.
Oh.
And then once that happens, which I imagine next week or so, the number of Microsoft shareholders who are for the gay rights policies will plummet from 97 to 96%.
Wow. Well, that's a feat ahead of him. Mm-hmm. Ian, well done for your first outing on the radio.
Yes, thank you.
Or in the Bryant Park Project, I should say.
Oh, yes. I've been all over the radio.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Okay, my most is from NPR Most Email, which I do want to give us a little shout out. We actually made the most emails.
Our show made
yes,
the most emails.
Yes, that story we did with the woman who runs marathons in Antarctica was number 3. It's down to number 8, but still in the top 10. Also in the most emailed is a story about the surge in Iraq. While military officials have said the improved security situation in Iraq is due to the surge, this most emailed story from NPR's Guy Raz says the decrease in violence may be due to other factors. Here's a little clip of Roz with retired Army Colonel Douglas McGregor talking about a new strategy implemented after 126 U.S. troops died in May of last year. Let's listen.
General Petraeus was under pressure to reduce those casualties.
And Petraeus seems to have concluded that it was essential to cut deals with the Sunni insurgents if he was going to succeed in reducing U.S. casualties.
The deals Colonel McGregor is talking about is what the military now calls the Concerned Local Citizens Program, or simply CLCs. It's a somewhat abstract euphemism. The CLC program turns groups of former insurgents, including fighters for Al-Qaeda in Iraq, into paid, temporary allies of the U.S. military.
If you want to hear the whole report, of course, you should go to NPR.org. That was Guy Raz reporting, and that's your most emailed stories viewed, blogged from the World Wide Web. You can find these links and a whole lot more on our site, NPR.org/Bryant Park. Go read that story about the glued kid again.
Matt. Oh, my God. It's brilliant. Brilliant, I say.
Thanks, everybody.